Welcome to the Area First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We're making our way towards Easter in a series we call Notes from God. We're asking the question, if God could leave you a message on a sticky note, what would it say? In this series, Pastor Nicole, along with Pastor Quint Lindblad, have been examining five notes that God has for us. So far, we've been reminded that God loves us, and that often we need to slow down to stay aligned with God. Last week, Pastor Nicole discussed the need for holy living and remembering to take out the trash in our lives. Pastor Quint is back today, and he's going to encourage us with a strong reminder on what it means to have God provide all we need to persevere through life's challenges. So let's get started today and see why it's so important that we don't give up. Here's Pastor Quint.
So, you know, I had a lot of ideas and concepts to do this message. When Pastor Nicole told me what the topic would be, don't give up is our post-it note today, okay? I had a lot of different examples and things going through my head. I am a very resilient person, so I thought, man, I could come up with a million stories and examples and things like that, testimonies, if you will, of different resiliency things. I even thought about, and I'm so glad I didn't do this now after how that just went, I even thought about having one of my project motorcycles right here on stage for this message, because if anything has taught me how to never give up, it's taking a motorcycle apart and putting it back together one bolt at a time, okay? And I even had Pastor Nicole's approval to do that, all right? So, but today is not the day. It will happen someday, but today was not that day. Then I thought of the popular Navy quote that originated here in Erie that we all know. It says, don't give up. All right, you guys got that one. All right, so don't give up the ship. I did some research on that story. I thought about bringing some of that into the mix. But one thing I've learned in 10 years of being in ministry now is that my best idea is rarely the best idea, okay? And I also know that man's greatest quips, okay, which is all that those things would be, do not hold a candle to God's revealed word. So I didn't just charge forward with those ideas that I thought would be fun or clever or unique. I prayed about it. And I asked God, what would you have us to learn and talk about today? And I'm really glad I did. And I'm really excited about what he showed me. Because you see, today, and Pastor Nicole already mentioned it, today is Palm Sunday. It is the first day of what we call Holy Week. All right, for those of us who profess to follow Christ, this is the beginning of the week that brought Christ to his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. So if there was ever a case study for us on the three words, don't give up, it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all right? It's not some hack mechanic putting a 1970s bike together. It's not some story from the War of 1812 from James Lawrence shouting words as he was dying, and then they become some flag that we still talk about today. No, our best and most noble case study on what it means to not give up is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As he rode into Jerusalem to cheers and applause, knowing exactly what the next 7 days would hold and what it would mean for him. So in my prep for all of this, I felt like Jesus reminded me that what we need deep inside our bones is a reminder of just how strong and resilient he is. And because he lives inside of us, how strong and resilient that makes us. All right, we love a good Cinderella story, right? It's March Madness. We were all cheering for Oakland last night. They couldn't hit the free throws at the end of the game. We love a good pull yourself up by the bootstrap story in Western civilization. But what I was reminded in preparing this message is that the ultimate don't give up message is not American. It's not Western. It's not inspiring. It's not sports. It's Christian. It is Christian. The ultimate charge to not give up comes from our Savior on account of our eternal life, not from our heroes in regards to our earthly life. I'm going to repeat that, okay? The ultimate charge to not give up comes from our Savior on account of our eternal life, not from our heroes in regards to our earthly life. So that's what we're going to look at today. So let's pray, and then I'm going to read the account of Palm Sunday as found in the book of John. It's in all four Gospels, and we're going to read from John chapter 12 this morning. But first, let me pray. Jesus, I thank you that you did not give up, that you looked at everything we're going to talk about this morning and you faced it. As we learned last year on this day, you set your face like flint and walked into these situations. And so this morning, would you remind us, would you encourage us, would you show us, and Lord, would you convict us so that we could know in new ways what it means to not give up? Amen. Amen. All right, let me read John 12, 12 through 19. Here we go. The next day, before I do this, let me remind you, last year I preached on Palm Sunday. I read y'all 39 verses from the book of Mark, okay? So we're going to just do 7 this morning. So hold on tight. Here we go. John chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and he sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the world has gone after him." All right, so let me set the stage a little bit. Jesus has been leading his disciples for 3 years. He's been healing people, casting out demons, teaching a new way, ushering in the new kingdom, all right? He's been saying this line on repeat, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." You have heard it said, but I tell you. He is flipping the old covenant on its head, and he's letting all of these folks know, from fisherman to Pharisee, from tax collector to carpenter or prostitute, all right, to all of his followers, anyone who will listen, he is letting them know that keeping the law is an impossible task. Jesus revealed that the point of the law was to show us all just how incapable and lost we are without a Savior. That was its purpose. The disciples are slow to catch on, but they're about to get it because review classes are over and it is finals week, all right? It's all coming to a boiling point as this week begins. And here we find Jesus and all of his disciples entering what would become known as Holy Week, and only he truly knows what is about to unfold. The prophets had revealed so many specific things on what would have to happen for the Savior to be the Savior. One of those things is in Zechariah 9, and the other accounts of this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about how Jesus sent two of his disciples to get this donkey, okay? But one of the things that was mentioned was that he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey, which he did, okay? So Jesus was dotting the I's and crossing the T's on all of these messianic prophecies. And so without giving away the contents of the message for our Good Friday service, you should definitely come out to that. It's one of my favorite services of the year. Without getting into Pastor Nicole's message from next Sunday, which she already mentioned is Easter Sunday, I just want to highlight that Christ enters this week knowing what it would mean. He rides the waves of people's fickleness, all right? They go from cheering and praising his entrance to jeering at him and applauding his execution. It is a harrowing experience, and we could never fully comprehend all that took place in his mind, in his spirit, and what his earthly body endured. And yet, he never gave up. He never gave up, all right? And because he never gave up, that means something for you, and that means something for me as his followers. So like I said, we have these great services planned. I would encourage you to come out this Friday, to be here next Sunday, and just be reminded of the passion poured out by our Savior throughout this entire week, okay? But for the rest of our time this morning, I want to talk about what it means for you and for me. And I want to do that by looking at one specific disciple that followed Christ, Peter, okay? If you need a quick reminder, Peter was the guy who was right by Christ's side until he wasn't. He may have been one of the two disciples who went and got the donkey. We don't know, but he was definitely one of the inner three. He's in many scenes. And here's the thing. What we know during Holy Week is that Peter denied Christ three times. So he is one of the fickle crowd that cheered and yet later jeered at his Savior. And then after all was said and done, Christ dies, he rises again, okay? Jesus takes the time to specifically reinstate and reaffirm Peter. It's a beautiful scene. It's found in John 21. But after Christ rose from the dead, he takes this time. You can read the entire account there. But he asks Peter three times specifically, Peter, do you love me? It was as if he was undoing each specific denial on Peter's behalf. He did not want some single surface level, I'm sorry, or yes, I love you, Lord. He went deeper on behalf of Peter. It's a really beautiful scene. And we see very quickly that this worked out, because if you flip over into the book of Acts, it's Peter who's preaching on the day of Pentecost. I don't want to get ahead in the story, but he was fully reinstated to the point where his confidence is back and he's leading this new church. And so let's just do a quick recap as we head into the second half of the message and we look at a letter that Peter wrote. Number one, Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly, knowing the extreme ups and downs that that week was going to hold. Number two, he never gave up, even until the point of death on the cross. Number three, Peter, one of his closest disciples, denied and abandoned him. And number four, he took the time to directly reinstate Peter and undo what he had done. You see, our note today is don't give up. And we have before us really two beautiful examples. The beautiful example of from our Savior of what it means, but also the beautiful example of the lengths that he will go through, that he was willing to go through, so that Peter could live a life where he did not give up. Do you see that Peter tried to give up? He tried to give up when he denied Christ three times, but his Savior wouldn't let him. And I believe your Savior won't let you either. Let's flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read from this letter that Peter wrote. He's writing to new believers in Turkey. Let me just read everything that he says, and then we'll unpack it. Verses 3 through 9. It is his divine power that has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. In this passage, Peter is reminding these young believers, and I believe he's reminding us today, that we have been given everything that we need for a godly life. He says it right out of the gate. His divine power has given us. Is there anyone more qualified than the Apostle Peter to remind us that we have been given what it takes to succeed in living this godly life? Is there anyone who knows more personally what it is to falter, to screw up, and then be reinstated than Peter? Okay, he found himself at the end of his rope with nothing left but to deny 3 years of firsthand experiences. And yet, by God's grace, he finds himself writing this letter, building Christ's church, and living out a life he never could have orchestrated for himself. Had it been up to him, he would have none of this. What an awesome perspective to consider. You see, it is by the complete and total work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we have what it takes to not give up. If you hear these three words, don't give up, and you're discouraged, or you think, I just don't know if I can, I have some great news for you. You don't have to. He already did it. Jesus already did it, and it is by his divine power working in you that you don't have to give up. Let's just read this from 2 Peter a little more in depth. We'll see what it means. It says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Our Lord and Savior has given this to us. Only because of that can we participate, and only because of that have we escaped, all right? This is what I'm trying to say. We didn't do any of this to begin with, okay? He did this in us, so we do not have to conjure up strength to keep it going. It is such a beautiful relief. When I was dead in my sin, when I was lost, I was confused, I was just a broken kid, he saw me. He reached for me. He saved me. And now that I'm a Christian and I'm on this Christian journey, and hopefully you are on this Christian journey, you don't have to take over, okay? I don't have to take over. You just have to walk in what he already has for you, what he's already given you through his divine power. He gave you the ability to participate in this, and he's not done giving you the power and the ability to push through whatever you might face. Doesn't that change everything when you don't have to become the magic because you never were in the first place? You don't have to be the effort. He already did. Listen, Peter shows us he will not let us give up. He will not let us give up. His divine power shows up and says that we have everything we need for a godly life. I want to read more from 2 Peter 1, but before I do, I want to share this excerpt from a book that I've been reading far too slowly. And I think maybe that's because I needed to intersect with a specific part of this book as I was getting ready to share this message. But Blaine Eldridge writes a personal story in his book here that tells of the glorious entrance of he and his wife's first child, all right? They had a daughter, and they were overjoyed, and they were also not sure if they would ever be able to conceive again. 2 years passed, and they miraculously found themselves pregnant, and they were just over the moon, so excited. But they lost that baby. And he tells of the tiny casket that they made and the service that they held for this child that never drew her first breath. And some of you may relate to that experience. My wife and I had a situation just like that in 2015 that we lived through. And Blaine says in his book that he felt if he ever had to face a situation like that again, he didn't know if he literally could keep on living. And yet, 2 years later, it all happened again. Another daughter and another premature ending. And now let me just read to you straight from his book, because I think it shows us what we're talking about in light of Peter and these words, don't give up. Blaine says, those days were dark, and I felt like I was living on the edge of a black country, a darkness into which I could not reach for a hand I could not hold. It was always there. It was like a mirage. And then one day, I saw someone else. I was on the back steps of... Oh, I'm going to get choked up. All right. I was on the back steps of my house, and I was sitting alone. And suddenly, I detected by a faculty stronger than sight, a man far off to my right. And he was also facing this darkness. He stood like a traveler on the edge of that land. He was not tall. His dark hair was pulled back from his face, and his face was serious, sad and yet thoughtful, as though pondering unsearchable things. I knew exactly who it was, and I knew what I wanted him to do. I knew also that I could not ask because I would not know what it was I was asking for. If I begged him to enter that country... But of course, that is the thing with Jesus. You don't have to. His face resolved and was stern. His eyes shut and opened again. And then the great king from out of the past stepped into the dark and was gone. And that is one thing you must have in mind. Only God can save us from death. And yet the cost is that he must go there. There is no way except through the sea of death. And I think what I love about this story is that Blaine shows us that he didn't think he had what it took to push through this experience. And yet, again, just like with Peter, Jesus shows up and he's there ready to do that for him. And so just as he sat alone on his porch feeling hopeless, in a way only Jesus can, Jesus provided a rescue. Jesus always provides the rescue, okay? Jesus already didn't give up. And because of that, you don't have to give up. Back to 2 Peter, it says he has given us everything we need for a godly life. He has given us his great and precious promises. He has made it so that we can participate and so that we have escaped. He has done all of this for us. So now, what do we do? Well, let's start in verse 5. It ties in so well with Pastor Nicole's message from last week. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, okay? And so this reminds me of what we learned last week from Ephesians 5 and take out the trash. We were not simply rescued from something, but we were rescued to something. So what is that something? What were we rescued to? As we learned last week, we were rescued to a life of continually growing in our relationship with him. We were rescued to a life of repenting of more and more as we walk out this journey of sanctification. So step one, after believing all of this by faith, everything we've talked about with Peter and everything we've talked about how Jesus did it so we don't have to do it, step one is, after you have the faith in that, add goodness. Just live virtuously. Prioritize what is right and refrain from what is wrong. Peter goes on to say, to your goodness, add knowledge. So let's not just stop at doing good, but let's grow, let's learn, let's change, let's seek and study the word more, right? Let's see the kingdom in all of its ways. Let's not just live in it, rescued from something, but let's live rescued to something. Let's put some works with our faith. To our faith and our goodness, we add knowledge. And then Peter says, add self-control. When we do this, after this, he says, let's add perseverance. Perseverance is the word that means don't give up. And what I love is that it's buried five attributes deep in this list. Do you want to know why I think that is? I think it's because by the time we have added faith and goodness and knowledge and self-control, we're actually pretty mature. So we can bring a more holy and learned and mature version of perseverance to the table. If we are taking Peter at his word, then we know that we've grown in all of these things. And I think that makes all the difference. I think Peter shows us our effort is not the starting point. It's five attributes deep. It is Christ's effort on our behalf that is the starting point. All right, so here's where it all comes together for me. He goes on to charge all of us to godliness and mutual affection, and lastly, love. But in verses 8 and 9, I want to just really hone in on these last two verses because this is everything. This is everything. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Listen, two things jump off the page right here. The first is it says, if you possess these qualities, it does not say if you possess a superhuman will and you're so resilient and strong and nothing can get you down and you're so holy all by yourself and you're so righteous, you don't even need Jesus because you have it on lock. That's not what it says. It says if you simply possess these qualities and seek to grow in them, faith, then goodness, goodness, then knowledge, knowledge, then self-control. If you just put your mind on growing in these qualities, if you take out the trash, if you continuously repent and ask God to reveal what you're missing and just possess these, this will keep you from being ineffective. This will help you hit the mark in your Christian faith. But the second thing that jumps off the page is this, and this is where I prayed earlier, Lord, would you just convict us all of this morning? Whoever does not have these qualities is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. I'm going to get choked up again. Peter's calling it out, isn't he? He doesn't forget. He remembers that scene from John 21 all too well. That scene where Christ undid those three denials. Lord, help us to never forget. where we started on this Christian journey. All too often, we love the rescue and we're grateful for it. And we get living the Christian life and we do think we had something to do with it. We do think it was our efforts, our perseverance that are keeping us. No, Christ is keeping us. We're in the palm of his hand. He has rescued us, restored us, and he's the one who's keeping us. And so we can have a lot of things. We can have effort. We can have an iron will. We can be a resilient type person. But the lesson today is that we don't have to do any of that on our spiritual journey. The message in the note, don't give up, actually kind of has a plot twist. Because he's the one who didn't give up. And because of that, we don't have to. Because he has handed us everything we need for a godly life. So let's not be nearsighted, or worse, let's not be blind to the fact, to the work that he has done and is still doing on our behalf. Let's not forget this ultimate truth that says he has done it all. And what we now do is we accept it by faith. We add goodness to it. We grow in knowledge. We add self-control. After we've matured, we can persevere into godliness, but it all starts and it all has its foundation on the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the ultimate example of what it is to don't give up, and he gave it to us so that we don't have to. And so, like Pastor Nicole said, we're going to spend some more time than usual in worship at the end of the service because we kind of moved some things around, but I want to encourage you to really pray into that, to think into that, and ask God if he would show you where maybe you have been forgetting your role in the whole thing, where maybe you have been feeling like you've had something to do with it. It's not to say that we don't have things to do with it, but all too often, or far too often, I should say, we get too tied up in thinking that we have something on somebody else when it comes to holiness. Jesus Christ gave me my holiness. I didn't give me my holiness. Jesus Christ gave you your holiness. And so I'm going to pray to that end. If you would stand. This first song is called I Trust in God. I asked Pastor Andrew if this was the song we could kind of start this part of the worship with. Because what does it all start with? It all starts with our faith. If we have faith that he has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Then we can start adding attributes. Then we can start talking about other stuff. But faith is where it all starts. And so trusting in God and having faith that who he is who he is what starts it all. So let me pray to that end and we'll worship this morning. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you did not give up. And because you did not give up, we don't have to give up. We thank you that you show us through loving Peter that you wouldn't let him give up. Lord, would you not let us give up? Thank you for fighting for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to love you back and to worship you. And this morning, may our song, may our sound honor and glorify you. We say Hosanna. We thank you. We thank you for this Palm Sunday. Amen. Amen. Would you say Hosanna with me, church? 1, 2, 3. Hosanna. Let's worship. Blessed assurance, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.